Gracious and amazing God, you invite us into relationship with you, an invitation that we often don't see or hear, an invitation that we push aside. But Lord God, the beauty of who you are for us in our lives is that that invitation continues and continues and continues. And Lord God, you will continue making yourself known in our own lives. Help us to respond as you have created us, to respond in the ways that you have uniquely gifted us to your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you called by God, Carolyn? Yes. Are you called by God, Terry? Yes. Everybody over here is getting really nervous right now. Tom, are you called by God?
All the time.
All the time. All right. Coach, who has to make the calls on Friday night, except this week, Monday night. Are you called by God? Corey? Connor? That's okay, you can think about it. Yes. Drew, Dr. Drew. Called by God. Finally. Sebastian. Are you called by God?
Oh, indubitably.
Indeed, you have all answered correctly. Every single one of us in this room today have a call from God. Now, I remember when I went to seminary and they started talking to me about my call. They started talking to me about internal call and external call and what that was. And they gave me a article to read, and I have to tell you, I didn't read it. I really should have. I mean, I really should have. That would have helped. But I just didn't. And I was like, well, God has called me, I believe, to the ministry. But what I was seeking in those moments in seminary was, what does it mean to be called by God? We often talk about a call from God being those who end up in some kind of professional role in the church. And I'm so heartened that every single one of you here said, yes, I have a call from God. Because that is true. In seminary, if I would have read that article, people who did read it told me later that what it talked about was this. That there is that internal call that you feel, yeah, I think God is calling me to the ministry. But then there is also what was called an external call, which was a call that the church says, yes, we believe you are being called to the ministry. And maybe it would have been easier for me to get through that piece if I would have read that article and known that it was coming. Because the reality is they were saying, yeah, you may feel this, but what do the people around you say? Because it reminds us that whatever call that God has put on our heart, friends, it is a call that He has also given to those around us to help shape it. Now think about that for a second. The call that God has made on your life that is a gift to you and the way that God has created you to be, our God has also shared that call with those others around you who will help you see it and live into it. Samuel is a perfect example of that today. It's a fascinating story, isn't it, really? You have this Samuel, this young boy, who is in the midst of God, and God is reaching into his life, but he doesn't even know that it's God. In fact, the priest Eli doesn't catch it either for a while. But when he does, he says, Samuel, say, yes, Lord, I am speaking. And from that point on, Samuel's life and his call is a little more clear. But you know what's interesting is that this account gives us something, I believe, that is helpful for us in our own lives, because it reminds us that, like Samuel, often the call in our own life is one that we can miss easily. We can miss it because we are involved in other things. I really think that my call to the ministry, I often say that it started while I was in college, but it really didn't. And if I'd have read that article, I probably would have realized this sooner than later. But the reality is, it started when I was younger. I remember a distinct moment in my life when I was probably around 12, 13 years old. And there was this little bitty Lutheran church down not far from Boone. It was down the mountain as we were heading towards Wilkesboro in a town called Deep Gap. And Deep Gap had this little bitty Lutheran church, not unlike the Stein's Chapel. Do you know Stein's Chapel down here? It looked very similar to that, but it had been grown up with weeds around it, and it was kind of dirty. And so our Lutheran church was in charge of that. And my dad said, "David, it's our turn. Let's go down and do some work down there." So my sister and I and my dad went down to this little bitty church, and we mowed the lawn, and we went inside, and we started cleaning things up. And while we were in there, I remember my dad just started singing Amazing Grace. He just started singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." He sang it much better than that. But my father started singing. And you know what? I started singing with him. And my sister. And then we got to that first verse that everybody knows. We all know the first verse. But then he got to that second verse. "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." And as he started doing that, I started learning that song. I started learning that song, and I learned all those verses. And I remember thinking at that moment, wow, this is a pretty awesome feeling. And I believe that in my life, that moment, that song started me feeling a sense of call. I couldn't have named it that at the moment, but I believe it started then outside of me by my father. And then throughout my life, as I found my call to the ministry, so many other people helped to shape me and make me feel that way. But it would have been easy for me to miss. It had been easy for me to miss in my life if I'd have been focused on some other things. But God kept bringing people into my life that helped me to see it. The other thing about Samuel's call that I think is important for all of us to remember is that God chose Samuel, and he wasn't the one who should have gotten the call. You see, it was Eli's sons who should have gotten that call. Eli's sons who were really, you know, not living the way they should have. They were failing in their role of being faithful people and practitioners of the work of God. They were, as the Bible tells us at the end of Judges, they were following their own ideas instead of God's. And because of that, they were ceasing to be whom God had created them to be. So the call to reshape Israel, to help them be the people that God had wanted to be, did not go to the people it should have gone to. It ended up going to Samuel, an outsider. Someone whom was not who others would have expected it to be. And what that tells me is that whatever call God may have in your life, it may be upon your life as an outsider. You may think, well, there's no way I could do this. There's no way that God is calling me to be this, because I think about these things, or I worry about these things, or I wonder about my abilities to do these things. But the fact is, that does not stop God from giving you your call. In fact, God throughout the Bible uses those on the outside. Jacob and Moses and David and Mary and Joseph. And all of those people were on the outside. They were not the people that the Academy expected to be the leading actors. And that means you and me too. Whatever status you believe you have or don't have does not disqualify you from what God has in store for your life. And the third thing that we learn really from this text that's powerful for us as we think about our own sense of call is that just like going into the promised land was not easy for the people of God, living into the wilderness was not easy for the God, experiencing the call of God will not be easy as well. Because the first thing that Samuel had to do was pronounce judgment on his spiritual father, Eli. Think about that. The very person who showed him that this is God, call upon your life, Samuel. Samuel then received that call and turns around and says, this means your family will be destroyed. I think that says something about Eli as well. I read this story thinking, what must it have been like for him to answer his call from God, to be able to see that perhaps now God's work was happening in Samuel and he knew what that meant. What does it say for Eli that he still followed God's call on his life to tell Samuel that God was speaking in his life, knowing what that meant for him, for Eli, for his children, for his life? You see, that's the thing. You all answered, yes, God has a call in my life, and that's true. That is the call that will come from those outside of you that will help shape that for you. That is the call that will remind you that even if you don't think you're the qualified person for it, but it can still be yours and it will still be yours. And that is true. And the other thing that's tough, and friends, this is why we need each other, is that that call on you will not always be easy. When things get hard, we often, and I know I did this all the time, I would say, God, where are you? My life is hard. This stinks. I don't like my life right now. I hate what you're doing. You have abandoned me. And then I realize, no. No. No, because that's not who God is. No, in fact, maybe it's exactly when it's hard that it is most God's call in my life. And in those moments, I need you. I need others. In those moments, you will need others to help to give you strength, to help to give you peace, to help to give you a sense and a reminder of the call. The call that God has made in our lives. You know, there's a story of a man who was born in the 18th century, who was born to a Christian family, a very devout mother, but his mother died of tuberculosis when he was 7. His father, who was a seaman, got him involved then by the age of 11 with working on ships, working primarily on ships that were the Royal Navy of England. Well, he was kind of a free thinker, this young man, and so he was always getting in trouble, insofar that he ended up being caught for insubordination. He was put in chains, and he was just somebody who was just getting in trouble all over the place, so much so that he didn't want to have anything to do with the Royal Navy of Britain anymore, and so he requested to become on a slave ship and became a part of that slave trade. And he worked for years on boats that brought human cargo from Africa to other parts of the world. Well, one night he was in a storm, and the storm almost capsized the ship. And in that moment, he read, as he was reading the scripture, and in that moment, his life was kind of touched again. That moment changed him so that he began to experience God anew. And so he came back and he kept working in the slave trade, but doing it from the Christian perspective, trying to change this whole system of brokenness and pain. He started to see a call upon his life that had been given to him by his mother early on and had been shaped by the experiences of his life. And it was a call that led him to eventually become an Anglican clergyman when he left the sea trade. He got a little church in England and he started writing hymns with a friend of his. Many hymns that you would know. In 1787, he wrote a treatise on the African trade, slave trade. A little treatise that was picked up by William Wilberforce, who you may know as the one who helped to lead the abolition of slavery in England in the 18th century. And this man was a spiritual leader for Wilberforce and the whole movement. This man's name was John Newton. And this man wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. So when you hear those words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. It reminds us, indeed it shares with us, a powerful message of what God can do when God has a call upon your life. The slave trade ended in England. And the former slave trader, the blasphemer, helped to make it happen. Indeed, God is about doing those kind of amazing things in our lives. And indeed, friends, never doubt that God has that call upon you too. Now let us stand. And let us sing that great song that we know. If you don't know it by heart, it's on page 779 in our hymnals. And as we think about the call that God has made on our lives, friends, let us now give thanks because that call is given to us by God's and through God's and because of God's amazing grace. Let us sing as the people of God on the Stewardship Sunday in response to what God has first done for us.